This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. We continue our series entitled Our Story, a chronological overview of the Muslim Ummah walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our previous episode, Halaqa, we discussed the year 8 after Hijrah. Three major events occurred. Number 1, the conquest of Mecca. Number 2, the battle of Hunain. Number 3, the siege on the city of Ta'if. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we also discussed related to these matters. There was the letter that Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a had sent with a woman wanting to inform the Meccans of the movements of the Muslims. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summons this important companion, subhanallah, Hatib. What is this? Why have you done this? Hatib says, Ya Rasulullah, it's not a matter of hypocrisy. It's not a matter of nifaq. It's not high treason, etc. Rather, I have family in Mecca al-Mukarramah. I have some wealth, etc. And it's for this reason that I sent this letter. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam eventually forgave Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a. Even though you informing the enemy of our movements, this is a major, major crime. That's why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, what did he say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ya Rasulullah, let me chop off the head of this hypocrite. They felt that maybe Hatib, he was one of the munafiqeen. Allahu musta'an. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, maybe Allah looked at the people who fought in the battle of Badr and said, do as you wish, Allah has forgiven you. And Hatib made amends for this mistake. Walhamdulillah. We saw the family of Al-Abbas, uncle of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They were on their way to Medina al-Munawwara and they meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is headed in the opposite direction towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. They embraced Islam, walhamdulillah. We also saw Abu Sufyan, the father of Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an. He meets up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the forces of Medina entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah. Abu Sufyan embraced al-Islam, walhamdulillah. And then he went to Mecca and he says to the Meccans, the Quraysh, there's no hope, there's no other option, surrender. Whoever goes to the Haram is free. Whoever goes to the Haram is safe. Whoever enters into my home is safe and is free. Whoever stays in their own homes, lock themselves up in the homes, etc., don't go out and fight and try to put up any resistance, then these people will be safe. Walhamdulillah. His wife, Hind, she says to him, you are crazy, you are a madman, what are you talking about, etc., etc. So when after our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the forces of 10,000, they took over Makkah al-Mukarramah, walhamdulillah. Some mention that this was a bloodless takeover. No, the reality is that some of the Meccans decided to fight, and there were some skirmishes, especially in the direction from which Khalid ibn al-Walid entered into Makkah al-Mukarramah. As for the general masses of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were given amnesty, they were given clemency, walhamdulillah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, what do you people think that I will do to you people? They said that you are a noble son, one of our noble sons, the son of our noble son. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, antum tulaqa, you people are free, go as you wish, no issue, no problems. As opposed to a few individuals, they were on a special death warrant list. Even if you find them holding on to the curtains of the Kaaba, then give them and put them to death, because these were major, major criminals. But subhanallah, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we learnt that even many of those who were on that death warrant list, many of them eventually came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and walhamdulillah, the Nabi of Rahmah, the Nabi of Mercy, granted them amnesty, masha'Allah, tabarakallah. Soon after taking over Makkah al-Mukarramah, the people of Thaqif, the people of the Hawazin, of the area of Ta'if, they put together a force of 20,000 and they begin marching against the Muslims. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets word with regards to this matter. 12,000 are put together. The 10,000 he came with from Medina al-Munawwara and the new grouping from Makkah of 2,000 new Muslims. They all head out. But unfortunately, the Muslims were ambushed at Hunain. They were ambushed, and at the beginning, they fell into a lot of disarray. Chaos, didn't know what was going on, etc. Allahu musta'an. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rallies the Muslims back, and eventually they regrouped, and they fought off the people of Thaqif and Hawazin, and they were victorious, walhamdulillah. But at the beginning, they felt that our numbers, 12,000, we will never ever lose. This is the largest force we've ever put together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the lesson that victory doesn't come because of your numbers. Allah musta'an. Then we had the Hawazin and the Thaqif fleeing. They went back to Ta'if. They garrisoned themselves in their forts and in their palaces and in their castles. The Muslims laid siege to them for about 2 weeks. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the siege to be lifted. And he made dua that, oh Allah, guide the people of Thaqif and bring them to us. And that's eventually exactly what will happen. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The battle of Hunain, the Muslims had a lot of booty. When we spoke about Khaybar, we said that there was the largest amount of booty that the Muslims were ever given. Well, the battle of Hunain, the booty far beats whatever was gained in the battle of Khaybar. Subhanallah. We saw the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving some new Muslims in this valley, whatever sheep is there, this is all yours. We saw many of the new Muslims were given 100 camels, 200 camels, 300 camels. Subhanallah. A lot of booty was gained after the battle of Hunain. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. In this halaqa, in this majlis, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we will be covering the year 9 after Hijrah. The year 630 of the Common Era. What occurs in the year 9 after Hijrah? Well, the major event is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he leads 30,000 Muslims in midsummer all the way towards the north to Tabuk, following news of an impending Byzantine attack. We will discuss, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the expedition to Tabuk. And also this year, it is called Aam al-Wufud, the year of delegations, wherein tribes from across the Arabian Peninsula, they journey to Medina al-Munawwara to meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He is now the political authority. He is now the one with the power in the Arabian Peninsula. And so these various tribes come to Medina al-Munawwara, some of them to ask questions, to investigate, many of them to announce their Islam and pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the expedition to Tabuk in the north. This occurs in the month of Rajab, the year 9 after Hijrah. Tabuk, and this expedition is also called the Jaysh al-Usra. Jaysh al-Usra, the army of hardship, distress. Why? Because this expedition, it was very difficult. Number one, the fact that it was in midsummer, extremely, extremely hot, subhanallah. We find that there were not enough of mounts, animals available, camels available for everyone to have an animal to ride on. People were sharing animals. Some of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, we want to join, but we don't have any animals to ride on. Nor is there anyone who's ready to share with us, etc. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I don't find any mounts for you people. They left while they were in tears, subhanallah. They wanted to join, but unfortunately they didn't have the means. There was also a food shortage on the way. Tabuk is very, very far, over 700 kilometers. And also, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims are heading out to face who? To face the Byzantine Empire, the superpower of the day, subhanallah. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, that is the reason why it's called Jaysh al-Usra, the hardship army. Allah mentions about it in the Noble Quran. لقد تاب الله على النبي والمهاجرين والأنصار الذين اتبعوه في ساعة العسرة. Surah Tawbah, verse number 117. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked mercifully upon the Nabi of Allah, upon the Muhajireen, upon the Ansar, those who followed him, في ساعة العسرة, at the time of difficulty, that this Tabuk, this was an expedition of difficulty. And subhanallah, this expedition of Tabuk, we find great detail with regards to it in Surah Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is also called Surah Bara'a, and it's also called the Surah of Qital. It's the only Surah in the Noble Quran where you do not find Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before it. You do not find Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before it. And one reason for this is because of the contents. The contents dealing with the matter of fighting, etc., etc. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, what's the reason for this expedition to Tabuk? Well, word was received in Medina al-Munawwara that the Romans, also the Ghassasina tribes, the Ghassasina tribe, this was like the Arab buffer between the Byzantine Empire and the Arabian Peninsula. So this Ghassasina king, he is the puppet government, if one might say, of the Roman Empire. And there was word that they were preparing to attack Medina al-Munawwara. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders the Muslims to prepare and to go out and face them. Remember, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent a letter to Caesar inviting him to al-Islam, the Roman emperor. Then we also had Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending a letter inviting to Islam who? The head of the Ghassasina, Shurahbil ibn Amr al-Ghassani. But what did he do? That criminal, he killed the messenger of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-Harith ibn Umair al-Azdi. I mean, you don't do that. The protocol states that the messengers are not to be harmed. But this individual, ruthless as he was, he killed the messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, very soon after, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam readied up a force under Zayd ibn Haritha. And Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala was also there. Abdullah ibn Rawaha also participated. All three of them were martyred. And that is the battle of Mu'ta, which we discussed in our previous halaqa. And so subhanallah, Tabuk is only a continuation of the above. So we had the letter to Caesar, the letter to Shurahbil, the head of the Ghassasina. He killed the messenger. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number 3, sent Zayd ibn Haritha with this force. Khalid ibn al-Walid is also present in that army. And they face the Romans. The battle of Mu'ta occurs. And unfortunately, many of the Muslims were martyred. Many of the commanders were martyred. Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, Zayd ibn Haritha was martyred, Abdullah ibn Rawaha was martyred, and then Khalid ibn al-Walid made a successful retreat with the Muslims back to Medina al-Munawwara. And so this is a continuation of the same conflict. Some mention that in reality there was no immediate threat from Tabuk. But this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows best. But it seems that there definitely was a threat. Why? Because we know in the famous hadith of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions that one day in the morning there was a knock at his door. And he opens up and it's his Ansari friend. What has happened? Have the Ghassasina attacked? This indicates that they were expecting some sort of attack from the Ghassasina. And so this Ansari says, no, rather it's worse. What worse? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has divorced all of his wives. And then Umar radiallahu ta'ala eventually goes to Hafsa, goes to Aisha, and he meets up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he finds out that no, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has not divorced all of his wives. And that's the incident where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stayed away from his wives for 1 month. But the point being is that Umar was expecting some sort of attack from the Ghassasina. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But subhanallah, we will learn that when the Muslims headed out to Tabuk, this very very difficult journey? Was there any fighting which occurred at Tabuk? No, the Romans were not to be found, and so there was no fighting. The preparations for this long journey. Generally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would mention the destination. Generally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not mention the destination, would not mention whether it was the conquest of Mecca. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give an indication that we are headed in the opposite direction. Maybe we are going to attack this tribe or that tribe. He wouldn't give off the info to everyone where the destination is. But subhanallah, for the expedition to Tabuk, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was explicit and he mentioned the intended target. Why? So the people could prepare. So people knew exactly what they needed to know. They knew the distance. They knew that it is difficult. So we need to prepare accordingly. The Muslims were going out to face the superpower of the day. Remember that the Byzantines, they were on the rise over the Persians. They were rolling in reality. And subhanAllah, and the Muslims are planning to fight them at that time, when they were at their peak, subhanAllah. They had recently gained back their lost territories, which were lost to the Persians. They recently took back Jerusalem. Caesar had restored the supposed Holy Cross back to Jerusalem. And so, at this time here, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is planning the attack against the Romans. The Muslims were encouraged to contribute towards this expedition. A force of 30,000, plus minus, 30,000 was readied, subhanAllah. 30,000. This is the largest force that the Muslims have ever put together. The largest Muslim force to date, subhanAllah. And so for 30,000, they needed a lot of mounts, a lot of camels, a lot of animals, a lot of arms, supplies. The journey is long, and so they required a lot. And so subhanAllah, so many of the Muslims, they contributed generously. In fact, one of those who contributed, one might say, the most was Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an, the son-in-law of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the future third caliph of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. He donated 1,000 dinars, it is mentioned, and 300 camels. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about him and this donation, مَا ضَرَّ Uthman مَا عَمِلَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. It will not harm Uthman, whatever he does after today, subhanAllah. Hadith reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi. And subhanAllah, when Uthman, towards the final days of his caliphate, when he was under siege, and eventually he will be martyred, but when he was under siege in his home, he mentioned this contribution to those rebels. Was I not the one who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever puts together and supplies and donates and contributes towards the army of Usra, meaning the Tabuk expedition, then this person will have Jannah? And was I not the one who contributed so much towards this matter? They acknowledged that. But subhanAllah, they were criminals and they still slaughtered the third caliph of Al-Islam, and he was in his late 70s or 80s. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Look at the competition between Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Bakr. Umar says, today I'm going to beat Abu Bakr. I'm going to donate half of my wealth. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he comes with all of his wealth. SubhanAllah. Umar says, I can't compete with this man. I can't compete with this man here. I thought half was like so much, but Abu Bakr gives off everything, subhanAllah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, what have you left for your family? He says that I've left for them Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah. This is competition in good. Competition in good. Unfortunately, most of us, we compete in bad. We compete in other matters, but we don't really compete in good. You had women who were giving away their jewelry so that this could be sold, and so it can be used for the preparation of the army. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he taught the Sahaba those verses of the noble Quran, وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and exert yourselves with your wealth and with yourselves in the path of Allah. Allah mentions here your spending of your money even before mentioning the matter of yourselves, your bodies. وَجَاهَدُوا and exert yourselves بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ with your wealth وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ and then Allah mentions your bodies in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of donating, the importance of contributing financially. Subhanallah. Some of the Sahaba, poor companions, like Abu Uqayl, some mention also Abu Khaythama, they gave half a sa' of dates. That's two handfuls of dates. That's all they had. That's all they could contribute. And subhanAllah, he comes with two handfuls of dates. That equals half a sa'. Some of the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, they said, Allah's not in need of this. I mean, what are you donating two handfuls of dates for? Allah is not in need of this here. And when they saw others who were contributing a lot, like Abdurrahman ibn Auf, it is said that he donated 1,000 dirhams. Subhanallah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, 8 years ago, when he came to Medina al-Munawwara, he had no wealth. He had no wealth. And his Ansari brother said to him, I will give you half of my wealth and I will divorce one of my wives and you can marry her. He says, Dullani ala suk, just show me where the marketplace is. I will go, I will do my business and I will find my way. Fast forward 8 years, Abdurrahman ibn Auf is so rich, so wealthy that he donates 1,000 dirhams, subhanallah. So what did the munafiqeen say? Look at these people donating such a meager amount. Allah is not in need of that. And look at these others, Abdurrahman ibn Auf and others. They are showing off. And that's why they are giving so much. Allahu musta'an. You give a little, it's an issue. You give a lot, it's an issue. The munafiqeen, the hypocrites. Allah mentions about this in the Noble Quran. الذين يلمزون المطوعين من المؤمنين في الصدقات والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم سخر الله منهم. That those who defame and they make fun and make a mockery of the believers who are donating in the path of Allah. والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم. And those who don't find except that which is little to donate, these people make fun of them. فيسخرون منهم. They make sukhriya, make a mockery, they make fun, they joke about these people. Allah says, سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a mockery of those munafiqeen. Allah will make a mockery of them. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, 7 companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they wanted to join, but they had no mounts. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't have any mounts to provide for your people. They turned around and they were crying. They were in tears because they were unable to join. Subhanallah. They are called the Bakka'een, the ones who cried because in their hearts they wanted to join, but they didn't have the means. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُوا مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. That they turned around and the tears were rolling from their eyes because they were sad that the means for them were not provided for. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about some people like this. He said that in Medina, there are some people, O Sahaba, who are with me right now at Tabuk and on the journey. In Medina, there are some Sahaba, some of your companions, they are there in Medina. We have not gone through any valley or anywhere, except that those people in Medina also get a reward. How? Because they had the good intention of joining. They had the good intention of joining, but they didn't have the means, and so they will get the reward of that intention. Walhamdulillah, they had valid excuses. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we mentioned, subhanAllah, that the Muslims put together a force of 30,000, plus minus 30,000. This is the largest force to date. If one had to look at the Battle of Badr, plus minus 305, 313, etc. The Battle of Uhud, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left with 700. Then we also had Hudaybiyah, plus minus 1,400. We saw, subhanAllah, the siege of Mecca al-Mukarramah, 10,000. Well, now Tabuk, 1 year later, 30,000, subhanAllah. What a large force, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. This also indicates to us that many, many tribes were embracing Islam en masse. MashaAllah, walhamdulillah. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see the people entering into Islam in waves. And that's exactly what happened. That's why the year 9AH is called the year of wufud, the year of the delegations. They were coming one after another, and many of them embracing Islam. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. If we discuss the contributions of the Sahaba and how they assisted, mashaAllah, some of them gave half of their wealth. People were crying because they were unable to join the expedition. What was the reaction of the munafiqeen? What was the reaction of the hypocrites? They were like, sorry, sorry, it's not gonna happen. It's too hot right now. وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا لَوْ كَانُوا يَفْقَهُونَ. They say that it's very, very hot right now, midsummer. Don't go out. قَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ. Don't go out, it's too hot. قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرًّا. Allah says in the Quran, say to them that the hellfire is hotter, if they only but understood. Also, many of the munafiqeen felt that 30,000 plus minus 30,000, I mean, if I don't go, if Salman doesn't go, if this one doesn't go, that one doesn't go, they're not going to notice. The force is too large. They're not going to notice that we are not present. Allahu musta'an. One of them, Jid ibn Qais, it is narrated that he said, Ya Rasulullah, don't put me into a fitna. What do you mean fitna? It says that if I see Byzantine women, I will be infatuated and I won't be able to control myself. And so just leave me out of this matter. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ اِذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Surah Tawbah, verse number 49. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ اِذَلِّي. Some of them, they say, grant me permission not to join. وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي. Don't put me into a fitna. أَلَا فِي الْفِتْنَةِ سَقَطُوا. In reality, they have fallen head first into a fitna. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. And amazingly, these munafiqeen, at the time of the expedition of Tabuk, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is busy preparing. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking for contributions, etc. This is a massive army, massive undertaking, long journey. At the same time, you had the munafiqeen coming together and they built a masjid not too far from Masjid Quba, walking distance from Masjid Quba. And subhanallah, they opened up this masjid. And this is that famous masjid that Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, Masjid Dirar, the masjid of division, the masjid of harm. These people open up this masjid and they request that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes there and as barakah blesses that masjid and he prays there. They said that we've opened up this masjid to make things easy. It's difficult at times to come all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid. Maybe some people they need a masjid closer to their homes, and so that's why we built up this masjid here. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, I'm very busy right now with the preparations. And so he didn't pray at that time. In reality, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, what was the intention behind the building of this masjid? It was deception. It was to sow the seeds of division so that they would be far away from the watchful eye of the Muslims. This masjid was built to divide the Muslims so they could come together, plot and plan away from the watchful eye of the Muslims. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَإِرْصَادًا لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَيَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ لَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. That this masjid, Masjid Dirar, that this is kufr and this is division, wanting to divide between the Muslims, and they swear by Allah that they only want good. Their intention is noble. Wallahu yashhadu innahum lakadibun. And Allah testifies that these people are liars. They are liars. And so we find when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on his way back after Tabuk, just as they were entering Medina al-Munawwara, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered the Sahaba to go to Masjid Dirar and have it burnt down. Have it burned down, subhanAllah. Why? It's the masjid of harm. It's not a masjid to join the hearts together. Rather, it's a masjid to divide between the ranks of the Muslims. Imagine, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, that we are preparing the expedition to go to Tabuk. You people are not helping with that. You people are not joining in that. You are not spending your money in the expedition to Tabuk. Rather, you people, subhanAllah, are spending your money on a fake masjid. You are spending your money in building a fake masjid. Allahu musta'an. Even though they claim that the intention is noble, Allah testifies that they are criminals. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, this teaches us a lesson that we need to question ourselves when we put up a masjid, when we start a new Islamic institute, etc., etc. Is the intention really to join between the Muslims and benefit Islam? Or is it because I have issues with my brother and I have issues with this group and that jama'ah, etc., etc.? Allahu musta'an. It's a question for us. Having said that, and obviously we need to be wary with regards to that matter, we shouldn't fall into the other extreme, which is, if we have a masjid, and there's some issue, and human beings, we have our issues and our problems, and there's one jama'ah that breaks away, and they open up another masjid, we shouldn't label that other masjid as Masjid Dirar. We find sometimes the community, then they have, that's Masjid Dirar. That one there, that's one, what is Masjid Dirar. No, subhanAllah. You can't call that Masjid Dirar, because of our issues and our problems and our different understandings. These people who broke away from your masjid, for whatever reason, they deferred with the masjid board, they had an issue with the imam, they have some other fiqhi differences, etc. That's the reason for the division. They have not broken away from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the munafiqeen had done. Important. They didn't break away from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the munafiqeen had done. The munafiqeen, they broke away from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why Allah called it Masjid Dirar. As for your friends and your cousins and the other jama'ah of the masjid who broke away, be careful, do not call it Masjid Dirar, because there is a difference between what they've done and the true followers of Masjid Dirar. But we still mention that we need to be careful and check our intentions, and we should try to join the rank of the Muslims as far as possible. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves Medina al-Munawwara, and who does he put in charge? Muhammad ibn Maslama. And he leaves Ali radiallahu ta'ala in charge of his family. So Ali didn't join in this Tabuk expedition, but subhanallah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims are on their way out, Ali comes, Ya Rasulullah, you're leaving me with the women and the children, and you know, there's people probably talking, and they're saying that, you know, I'm staying behind, you're not taking me with, etc. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoled Ali, and he says to him, are you not pleased that you are to me like Harun was to Musa? When Musa alayhi salam went, he left Harun in charge. And so you are to me like Harun was to Musa, except that there is no prophet after me. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari. And so Ali, you are in charge of my family and my family affairs, etc. And so you remain behind here in Medina al-Munawwara. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the forces, they then set off. Walhamdulillah. We had a companion, Abu Khaythama, Malik ibn Qais. He delayed in going out. Delayed in going out some days. I'll leave now, I'll leave just now, etc., etc. Procrastination. And eventually the army left. And subhanAllah, he's sitting in his garden. He mentions, I was in the shade, and my wife, etc. I'm nice and relaxed. And then I thought to myself, I mean, this is not right. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, they've gone out, and subhanAllah, they are in difficulty and they're going through the tough times, and I'm relaxing here in all of this luxury. This is not on. And so he readied himself up, walhamdulillah, and he headed off. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him some days later in the distance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Kun Aba Khaythama, be Abu Khaythama. Meaning, I hope that he is Abu Khaythama, and it was. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him and made dua for him, walhamdulillah. So Abu Khaythama was almost going to be one of those who remained behind, but mashaAllah, tabarakAllah, he changed his mind and he joined the Muslims, walhamdulillah. We find the famous companion Abu Dharr. He was on his camel. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, and his camel was slow. And so he's lagging behind at the back. And so he doesn't want to be there at the back and lag behind, etc. So what did he do? He left the camel, let the camel go. He took all of his stuff, put it on his shoulders and on his head, and he began marching, walhamdulillah, and he walked. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him in the distance and said, Kun Aba Dharr, be Abu Dharr. And it was him, walhamdulillah. Your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said about Abu Dharr, he said, رحم الله أبا ذر يمشي وحده ويموت وحده ويبعث وحده. That may Allah have mercy upon Abu Dharr. He walks alone, he will die alone, and he will be resurrected alone. Hadith reported in the Mustadrak of Imam al-Hakim. And that's exactly what happened during the rule of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. We find that Abu Dharr, he eventually moved away from Medina al-Munawwara and he settled in a place called Rabada. Rabada. He settled there, his wife with him and his servant. And after some time he passed away. And so they had performed the ghusl upon him. And subhanAllah, there's nobody else around. And so they had his body out. It's the wife and it's the servant. And then there was a caravan which was passing by. Walhamdulillah. Who was in the caravan? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And so he got to know that this is Abu Dharr who has passed away. And his wife here. And this is his servant. And so eventually they were the ones who performed the ghusl, performed the janazah salah. And they had Abu Dharr buried. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud cried. And he said, and he mentioned this hadith. He said that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this man, about Abu Dharr, may Allah have mercy upon him. He walks alone. He will die alone. And he will be resurrected alone. Subhanallah. May Allah have mercy upon Abu Dharr. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. This expedition, as we've learnt, difficult, long journey, shortage of mounts, shortage of food on the journey. Very, very difficult. Jaysh al-Usra, the army of hardship. We saw the reaction of the munafiqeen and we learned about how the companions contributed. Were there others who did not participate in this expedition? Yes. There were plus minus about 80. Many of the sick and the weak, etc., those who didn't have the means, they were unable to join. They were obviously the hypocrites, the munafiqeen. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the head of the munafiqeen, himself and his cronies, they didn't join. They said, well, nobody is really going to notice. It's like 30,000. They're not going to really notice that we are not with them. And so let's avoid, let's relax in the shade at home, etc. There were also three respected sahaba, three men of faith in reality, subhanAllah. Ka'b ibn Malik, Murara ibn al-Rabi', Hilal ibn Umayyah. These were three luminaries, walhamdulillah. Example, Ka'b ibn Malik, he was somebody, subhanAllah, from the early Ansar. He became Muslim even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina al-Munawwara. He was present at the Bay'atul Aqaba. What happened to him? He was procrastinating. I'll ready up myself today. I'll ready up myself very soon. I'll ready myself tomorrow, etc. The army's still here. I'll get ready very soon. I'll do this, I'll do that. And subhanAllah, days went and he was not ready. The army left. I'll leave today, I'll leave tomorrow, I'll leave today, I'll leave tomorrow. And nothing happened. He eventually remained behind, Allahu Musta'an. And he mentions that in terms of finances, I had more than enough. In terms of wealth and health, everything was good with me. It was just that shaitan got the better of him, Allahu Musta'an. Procrastination, and he was left behind. Allahu musta'an. We will learn that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from the journey of Tabuk, these three of the companions, these three sahaba, they were honest. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, we didn't have any excuse. If we wanted to lie, we could have lied, but we didn't have a valid excuse." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the rest of the community to boycott them. To boycott them, and they were boycotted completely for about 50 days until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated them. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as for the journey towards Tabuk, it was long, it was difficult, it was very, very hot, food shortage. On the journey, they even slaughtered some of the camels because they required food, subhanallah. As for what happened at Tabuk, there were no Romans to be found. There was no Roman army, no Ghassasina army at all. And so there was no fighting which occurred. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam camped at Tabuk for about 20 days. As we mentioned, the desert, subhanallah, very, very long journey. The heat of the desert. They slaughtered some of the animals to provide food for themselves. They camped at Tabuk for 20 days. Khalid ibn al-Walid, he was sent to one of the neighboring areas, Dawmatul Jandal, where he captured the Christian chief, the leader, Uqaydir. And he brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were negotiations, and Uqaydir eventually agreed to pay the jizya. We find that, subhanallah, this Uqaydir, this Christian chief, he had a robe or a garment which was very, very beautiful, very, very exclusive, very, very expensive. It had gold on it, etc. And either this Uqaydir came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wearing it and people were ogling at it and looking at it, or it seems that maybe Khalid ibn al-Walid had taken this from this Uqaydir and then sent it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the people were like amazed. Look at this cloak, look at this garment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw them all ogling at this garment, what did he say? He said, "Wallahi, the handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah is better than this." Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them that you are amazed by this here. Whereas the handkerchief, a small mere handkerchief of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh in Jannah is better than this. What's the amazing point here, brothers and sisters? Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he passed away in the year 5 after Hijrah. He passed away after Khandaq. He was the one who gave the verdict upon that last Jewish tribe, the Banu Qurayza. He was that one. He passed away years ago, but he is still fresh in the mind of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not forget his friends. He did not forget his followers. He did not forget his companions. Imagine he just mentions there that rather Sa'd ibn Mu'adh's handkerchief in paradise is better than this. Some of them might have forgotten Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. It's years now, subhanallah. But he's still fresh in the mind of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanallah. Amazing, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Alliances were forged in this area with various tribes in that region. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he was there at Tabuk, one of the Salatul Fajr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came a bit late. And who began the prayer? Abdurrahman ibn Auf was the imam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Subhanallah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the follower praying behind Abdurrahman ibn Auf. We also find at Tabuk, the companion Abdullah Dhul Bijadain, he passed away and he was buried. And at the time of burial, your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Allahumma inni amsaytu radiyan anhu fardi anhu." O Allah, the night has come and I am pleased with this person, and so you also be pleased with him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud heard that, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that, "Laytani kuntu sahib al-hufra." that, whoa, rather I was that person in that pit. Rather I was that person in the grave that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said he is pleased with that person. So, oh Allah, you be pleased with this person, subhanAllah. Look at the emotions of the Sahaba. Look at how they thought, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. Look at how they looked at matters, subhanAllah. After 20 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then left the area of Tabuk. And on their way back to Medina al-Munawwara, some say, but rather it was on the way to Tabuk, Allah knows best. It rather seems that on the way back to Medina al-Munawwara, they passed by Mada'in Salih, the area of Thamud. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to move fast in this area. Why? Because these were the people who got the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these people were punished. This is the area where the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down. And so we do not want to move slowly. We want to move fast. We don't want to spend time here. We do not want to spend any extra time here. The people of Thamud, in reality, they predate Ibrahim alayhi salam. They are the ancient peoples before the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. MashaAllah, these people, they were huge. They were like giants. They have these massive structures built into the mountains. Their homes were built into the mountains, subhanAllah. So imagine their strength. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Just like how the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, move at a fast pace in this area, he did the same at Wadi Muhassir between Mina and Arafat during his Hajj. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had destroyed the army of the elephants. So it's a place of punishment, adab. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to move in that area a bit faster. And so subhanallah, if one looks at the images of Mada'in Salih on the PowerPoint, you see those homes built into the mountains. Ajib, ajib, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims are now re-entering Medina al-Munawwara, this is the time wherein the kids, the children, they were singing, طَلَعَ الْبَدْرُ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ ثَنِيَّاتِ الْوَدَاعِ وَجَبَ الشُّكْرُ عَلَيْنَا مَدَاعَ لِلَّهِ دَاعِ. This, in reality, was the time when they were singing this, subhanAllah. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they are returning from the north, and this place of Thaniyatil Wada', this is in the north. And so it seems that this occurred when they were returning from Tabuk, and not when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was entering Medina al-Munawwara after the Hijrah. Not when he was entering Medina al-Munawwara after the Hijrah, rather when he was re-entering Medina after the expedition of Tabuk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters Medina, goes to the masjid, he prays two rakahs of salah, and then he sits down, and then we find many of the hypocrites, many of those who didn't participate in the expedition to Tabuk, they all now start coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They come to him. They come to him in the masjid. Ya Rasulullah, I had this excuse. I had that excuse. That's why I didn't join. I had this pain and this problem and that problem. Whoever came with an excuse, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it from them. Whether it was true, whether it was false, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted from them. Then we had Ka'b ibn Malik and the other two. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ka'b, his son narrates this story, subhanAllah. Ka'b, his son narrates this story. That means the father had mentioned this entire story to his son. And hopefully his son learned the lessons of this matter. He mentions that I could have lied to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had the gift of the gab. I could have lied my way out of his anger, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have been angry upon me, and so I couldn't take that risk. And I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will not lie, I will be honest, I have absolutely no excuse. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at Ka'b, but a smile of an angry person, he mentions. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, well, Allah will decide your matter. The Muslims were ordered to boycott Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah, etc., Murara ibn Arabi. They were ordered to boycott them. And the boycott lasted for 50 days. In fact, after 40 days, even their wives were told to keep away from them. And we find that Ka'b ibn Malik asked, should I divorce my wife or should I send her to her family? He says, no, send her to her family. There's no need to divorce. Ka'b ibn Malik had said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was strong, I was healthy, I had two camels, but I delayed, I had no excuse, no excuse whatsoever, subhanallah, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, while Ka'b ibn Malik and his two companions were being boycotted, Ka'b received a letter from the king of the Ghassasina. Subhanallah, this shows us that the Ghassasina, etc., they had their spies, they had people who were giving them information of what's going on around the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he receives this letter. And the king says to him that we've heard what has happened to you and you are being boycotted. If you come to us, we will honor you and we will respect you, etc., etc. Ka'b says, subhanallah, this is like a fitna here. And he took the letter and he burnt the letter. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. After 50 days, the boycott was lifted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exonerated them. Ka'b ibn Malik went to the masjid. He was called by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given the good news. Walhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted from them. This teaches us, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, the benefit of speaking the truth, even if it is bitter, that the truth will always set you free. It leads to goodness and it leads to piety. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We also find that when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Medina al-Munawwara, he got the sad news. The sad news that Kulthum, his daughter, the second wife of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, from the daughters of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had passed away while her father was away at Tabuk, while her husband was away at Tabuk, Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. We find that, subhanallah, there are reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he had a third daughter, a third unmarried daughter, then he would have married her to Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. We know Uthman was married to Ruqayya. When Ruqayya passed away, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Kulthum to Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, and she has now passed away. Allahu musta'an. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Daughter of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Plus minus maybe a month after the return from Tabuk, we find that the head of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he falls ill. And we have some narrations that he passed away in the month of Ramadan or in the month of Shawwal. Imagine Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Imagine his sadness at the end of his life. He tried his level best to undermine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He tried his level best to get rid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he sees with his own eyes that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now the dominant political authority in the Arabian Peninsula. He is won in this battle and in that battle, victorious here, victorious there. And the last one was, subhanallah, the tribe of Thaqif, the tribe of Ta'if. They had come to Medina al-Munawwara. They had pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had embraced Islam. Imagine how heavy all of this was on the heart of that munafiq. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. He passed away. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood to pray his janazah. Umar comes in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, ya Rasulullah, you want to pray janazah over this man here? How can you pray janazah over this man? He's the head of the munafiqeen. He is the one who took away one third of the army at Uhud. He is the one who said, we will return to Medina and the honorable ones will expel the lowly ones. Meaning, they will expel the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who started the slander against Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she has fallen into zina. This criminal, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Nabi of mercy, the Nabi of rahmah, the Nabi of clemency, he smiled at Umar and he says, move away Umar, I have been given the choice and I have chosen. What choice? Allah mentions in the noble Quran, إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ أَوْ لَا تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ إِن تَسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً فَلَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. If you seek forgiveness for them, if you don't seek forgiveness for them, even if you sought forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. So what choice? Subhanallah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is indicating that maybe if I seek forgiveness for these people 71 times, maybe Allah will forgive. Allah said 70 times he will not accept. Well, maybe 71 Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. So I've been given the choice and I've chosen. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led his janazah salah. As we said, maybe he passed away in the month of Ramadan. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led his janazah salah. He was buried in Jannatul Baqi. There are reports that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shirt or vest was used as the kafan of this man. He requested that when I die, O my son, ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his vest and use this as part of my shroud. And it was done so, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Look at our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the mercy, subhanallah. Even his worst enemy, he doesn't want the hellfire for such a person, subhanallah. But Umar was correct in this matter. Allah revealed, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ. Do not pray over any of these munafiqeen, nor stand over their graves. No stand over their graves, subhanallah. And so the matter was clear. These people, the munafiqeen, do not pray janazah salah over them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the future avoided this matter. It's also mentioned that around this time after Tabuk, Najashi had passed away in Abyssinia. Najashi and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered the sahaba together and they prayed salatul janazah over Najashi in absentia. This is the only person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed janazah over when the body was not present. Salatul janazah in absentia. This was the only person, the man of Abyssinia, and that is Najashi. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We mentioned that the year 9 after Hijrah, after Tabuk, generally we call this Am al-Wufud, the year of the delegations. In reality, these delegations, there were many delegations. Some of them began coming to Medina al-Munawwara after Khaybar. So the year 7 after Hijrah, and some of them continued 7, 8, 9. But the frequency and the volume increased in the year 9 AH. The volume and the frequency increased in the year 9 AH. That's why 9 AH after Hijrah is called Am al-Wufud, the year of the delegations. Why they all coming? Because they couldn't resist the power of al-Islam. Subhanallah. This is the first time ever that the Arabian Peninsula is under one political authority. Many of the tribes, they took a wait and see attitude. Let's wait and see what happens. Well, now the Muslims are the dominant force. Medina is now rolling. And so they eventually come and pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They realize that the Meccans have lost in this matter. There were plus minus between 60 to 110 delegations. Why did they come? To pledge allegiance, to question the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came investigating. Some of them came to negotiate, to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we said, this occurred over plus minus 3 to 4 years, but mainly in the year 9 after Hijrah. Some of the important delegations, the tribe of Muzayna, the tribe of Banu Tamim, the tribe of Banu Hanifa, Musaylimah the false prophet, Musaylimah the liar, he had come with the tribe of Banu Hanifa. He was around 60 years of age. He was a Christian. He was full of arrogance. He came not to submit. Rather, he came to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some mentioned that he embraced Islam and then later on left and claimed prophethood, etc. In the year 10 after Hijrah, he will claim that he is also a prophet. And subhanallah, he will be killed by who? He will be killed by Wahshi, the one who killed Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an in the battle of Uhud. Well, that same Wahshi, in the rule of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, when we had the wars of apostasy in the year 12 after Hijrah, Wahshi will be the one who will kill Musaylimah, the false prophet. And that's why Wahshi would say, I killed the best in Islam, meaning Hamza, and I killed the worst of Kufr, meaning Musaylimah, the false prophet. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a dream that he was wearing two bangles of gold. And these bangles were around his wrists. And he blew upon them and they eventually broke. And he interpreted this to mean the false prophets. false prophets, one of them being Musaylima al-Kadhab and the other one Aswad al-Ansi of Yemen. And subhanAllah, this is exactly what happened. This criminal here, he wrote to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that you people are not being just with the matter. You are a prophet, I'm also a prophet, and we should share this matter. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote back to him, to Musaylima al-Kadhab, the false prophet. The earth, it belongs to Allah, and Allah gives it to whomsoever he wishes. So that was Musaylima, the false prophet. There was also the tribe of the delegation from Najran, the Christian delegation from Najran. They had come in the year 9 after Hijrah. They had discussions with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Isa alayhi salam. Inna mathala Isa inda Allahi ka mathali Adam. They said that obviously Isa is divine. I mean, Isa does not have any father. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, well, what about Adam alayhi salam? If you're going to go down that route, then Adam is also divine. Allahu musta'an. But he is not. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam challenged them to a mubahala, where that you bring your family and we swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are upon the truth, and if we are lying, etc., then the curse be upon us and upon our family. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hassan, Hussein, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he had them under a cloak. And so that's the famous hadith of Kisa, that you bring your people and we bring our people, and we will make this mubahala, the curse of Allah upon us if we are lying. What happened to the tribe or the delegation of Najran? They said, no. We do not want any of this mubahala. And eventually they came with an agreement. They came up with an agreement with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was the tribe of Thaqif. They came in Ramadan, the year 9 after Hijrah. Remember Thaqif? They were responsible for the battle of Hunain and the siege on Ta'if the year 8 after Hijrah, 1 year ago. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua that Allah guide them and bring them to us. Well, here they've come. They've come, walhamdulillah. But subhanAllah, they were obviously responsible for the battle of Hunayn. And also they were responsible for killing Urwa ibn Mas'ud. Urwa ibn Mas'ud had embraced Islam, and he was one of their luminaries, one of their leading lights. He went back to Ta'if and he began doing da'wah to them, and they killed him. They killed him, subhanAllah. And Urwa ibn Mas'ud was one of their beloved. He was one of their big leaders, subhanAllah. The same Urwa ibn Mas'ud, remember at the time of Hudaybiyah, he came and he was negotiating on behalf of the Quraysh. And he says, oh Muhammad, you've gathered the scum of the earth here, and the Quraysh are ready to fight you. This was how he was talking, the same Urwa ibn Mas'ud. And he was touching the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Mughira ibn Shu'bah hit his hand and said to him, don't do that. The same Urwa ibn Mas'ud eventually embraced Islam after the siege on Ta'if. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his way back to Medina al-Munawwarah, he embraced Islam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he resembles Isa alayhi salam. He went back to Ta'if doing da'wah to his people. He was killed. And so the people of Thaqif, they were reluctant to meet up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they know he's going to question them about the killing of Urwa ibn Mas'ud. But eventually they came, walhamdulillah, and they negotiated with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, you know what, we are ready to embrace Islam, but the matter of zina, we cannot give up the matter of zina. We will not give that up. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, we cannot agree to you not giving up zina. You have to give up zina. Okay, then what about the matter of riba? We cannot give up the matter of riba. No, you have to give it up. The matter of salah, you know, we don't want to make salah. There's no good in a religion if there's no salah. The matter of jihad and zakah. Okay, the matter of jihad and zakah, you know, you don't have to worry about that matter. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they eventually will give it. Let them embrace Islam and they will eventually participate in jihad once their iman is strengthened, and they will pay the zakah, walhamdulillah. But when they were negotiating around the matter of zina and riba and salah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not allow any negotiation with regards to those matters. Then they said, subhanAllah, as for our idol Lat, then you give us 3 years, before we destroy that idol. He says, no, 2 years, 1 year, one month. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, rather, if you people are afraid, I will send Mughira ibn Shu'bah, I will send Abu Sufyan, and they will be the ones who will destroy it. And that's exactly what happened, walhamdulillah. In fact, Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who is also from Thaqif, Mughira, he says to his companion, you know, I will give you a good laugh. Says, what do you mean? Watch. When they were about to destroy the idol of Lat, Mughira ibn Shu'bah fell down. And so the people said, whoa, look, Lat has destroyed Mughira ibn Shu'bah. Lat has protected itself. Mughira ibn Shu'bah stood up and he laughed at them. And he says, I just was tricking you people. And he destroyed the idol. Walhamdulillah. So this was the delegation, the tribe of Thaqif, and they were the last of those major tribes, the major threats in the Arabian Peninsula, and this was eliminated, walhamdulillah. We find that Tamim ad-Dari, he had also come in the year 9 after Hijrah, and he embraced Islam. He is that famous one who mentions the hadith of Dajjal, the hadith of Jassasa, that he was traveling and he came to this island and saw this creature, etc., etc. We also find Wa'il ibn Hujr. He was from Hadramaut. He was from the royalty of Hadramaut. He had come, embraced Islam. Walhamdulillah, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had allocated some land for him. And there's a famous story that Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an was sent with this Wa'il ibn Hujr, and they're heading off. And it was very hot. Muawiyah was poor. Muawiyah didn't have shoes. And this Wa'il ibn Hujr, he is from royalty, subhanallah. And so Muawiyah says to him, allow me to ride with you on the animal. And so Wa'il says, no, it's unbefitting for you to ride with me on the same animal. So then Muawiyah says, then at least give me your shoes to wear, because it's difficult, unbefitting for me to give you my shoes, etc. Who am I and who are you? Wa'il is new Muslim, but I mean, Iman hasn't settled in his heart. He hasn't really gone through that tarbiyah and that madrasa of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he's obviously still got all of this royalty in his mind. And then Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, you know, but it's hot, etc. And so Wa'il says to him, well, what you can do is, you can benefit from the shade of my animal. As I'm moving with the animal, the shade, you can benefit from that, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah. Time goes. Time passes. Plus minus 20 years later, Wa'il ibn Hujr goes to Sham. And he meets up with Amirul Mu'mineen. Who is Amirul Mu'mineen? None other than Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Muawiyah welcomes him, sits him next to him, and says, O Wa'il, do you remember that time when I was with you and it was very, very hot, and I asked you for shoes, and I asked you for me to ride on the animal with you, but you refused? And so Wa'il was embarrassed, you know. If only, but I did, subhanallah. Allahumma musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we had Amir ibn al-Tufail. Subhanallah. This individual here, he came to Medina al-Munawwara. He didn't embrace Islam. Who is Amir ibn al-Tufail? He is the criminal who was responsible for the massacre of the Muslims at Bi'r Ma'una. Bi'r Ma'una, in the year 4 after Hijrah, Safar 4 after Hijrah, plus minus 40 to 70 of the Sahaba, they were sent as du'at, as callers to Islam, people who knew the Quran to go and teach, etc. They were all massacred. Massacred by who? Massacred by this Amir ibn al-Tufail. Well, this Amir ibn al-Tufail comes to Medina al-Munawwara now, in the delegation, meets up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he didn't come to submit. He was arrogant, subhanallah. He was arrogant. And it seems that he came to Medina al-Munawwara before the conquest of Mecca. And he did not embrace Islam. And he eventually died an embarrassing death. We move on bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So these were some of the major tribes that had come and met with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As for some other events, towards the end of the year 9 after Hijrah, we find the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gets Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala ready to lead the Hajj. About 300 of the Sahaba went with Abu Bakr, and they had also taken about 25 sacrificial animals. Abu Bakr is in charge of the Hajj delegation. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala was also sent with a special announcement, to make a special announcement. He was given the animal, the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-Adba. And what special announcement did Ali have to make? Even though Abu Bakr is the Amir of Hajj, Ali was given a special responsibility to make an announcement. What announcement? The first few pages of Surah At-Tawbah to announce this. That number one, that only the believers will enter into Jannah. Only the believers will enter into Jannah. Number two, that no naked person is allowed to make tawaf around the Kaaba. No naked person allowed to make tawaf around the Kaaba. And number three, after 4 months, the treaties with the mushrikeen, etc., they are all null and void. Except obviously if we had a specified time period, then that will remain. But if there was no specified time period, then all treaties, agreements with the mushrikeen, they are all null and void, and war will be declared upon them, and we will discuss this matter inshallah. Number four, that no mushrik will be allowed to make Hajj the following year. That the Arabian Peninsula is now declared the land of Islam. The Arabian Peninsula is declared the land of Islam. Question, why would people make tawaf around the Kaaba in a state of nakedness? SubhanAllah. Craziness. We found that many of these people, they found that we should perform tawaf around the Kaaba, you know, in the manner that our mothers gave birth to us, in the natural manner as possible. Others felt that the clothing that we were wearing and we've sinned in, we cannot make tawaf around the Kaaba in the same clothing. We've sinned in this clothing, so we cannot do this. This was something that the people who would come from afar, they would practice. As for the people of Makkah, no, they would wear their normal clothing. In fact, what many of them would do, they would hire out their clothing to the people who have come, the pilgrims who have come. You can either make tawaf naked, and maybe we sit and watch and laugh at you, or you can hire our clothing because we are the special people of the haram. Allahu musta'an. This also shows us, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, our need for a sharia, our need for a sharia, a set of laws and regulations. Because anyone could make up whatever he wants. Look at these people. They were just making up their own rules that we want to be as natural as possible, or we sinned in this clothing so we cannot wear it and make tawaf. This shows us the need of human mankind for a sharia. We require Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us and give us the laws and regulations so that we can live correctly. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we find that around this time it is stated in the year 9 after Hijrah that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had this marital dispute with his wives. We mentioned that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got the knock on his door. He asked that Sahabi, what has happened? Have the Ghassasina attacked? He says, no. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has divorced all of his wives. Umar eventually meets up with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, I've not divorced them. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did stay away from them for a period of 1 month. A period of 1 month. They wanted some more money, the wives, they wanted some more money, some more spending, etc. Imagine, generally, we find that the standard of living in Medina al-Munawwara is increasing. Why? Because you had Khaybar, and a lot of wealth, booty was gotten after Khaybar, also after the conquest of Makkah and the booty from Hunayn. So many people became millionaires overnight, alhamdulillah. So these wives are seeing others in the community, their standard of living is increasing. And so they also petitioned the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But subhanallah, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was somebody who chose to be a Nabi who is the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't choose to be a king and a prophet. He chose to be a slave and the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so for 1 month he stayed away from his wives, and then he gave them the option, you either remain with me, but it comes with a lot of honor, but also with great responsibility, etc., etc. And the wives, they chose to remain with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walhamdulillah. He stayed away from them for 29 days, ila, And eventually when he enters upon Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was the first one that he went and visited after this period of time. So she says, you said 1 month, but it's only 30 days. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a month is 29 or 30 days. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. With regards to that matter of the announcement of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, during that Hajj, for him to announce those verses, first few verses of Surah At-Tawbah, بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُم مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. This is a declaration of disassociation from Allah and His Messenger. To who? To the mushrikeen. To those with whom you have made a treaty amongst the mushrikeen. فَسِيحُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَرْبَعَةَ أَشْهُرِ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْزِي الْكَافِرِينَ. So travel freely. You have 4 months. You have 4 months clemency, amnesty, no issue, no problem for 4 months. وَأَذَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بَرِيءٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ. An announcement is given during the days of Hajj that Allah and the Rasul are disassociated from the mushrikeen. Specifically the mushrikeen, the pagans. We're not talking about the Ahl al-Kitab. فَإِنْ تُبْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If they make tawbah and come to Islam, that's better for them. وَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And give glad tidings to those who disbelieve of a painful punishment. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ. So they have 4 months. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Except those who you have a treaty with them, and there's a specific time related to that treaty, and they have not broken that treaty. وَلَمْ يُظَاهِرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَحَدًا فَأَتِمُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ عَهْدَهُمْ إِلَى مُدَّتِهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Then complete for them that treaty until the term has ended. Indeed, Allah loves those who are righteous. After 4 months. فَإِذَا انْسَلَخَ الْأَشْهُرُ الْحُرُمُ فَاقْتُلُوا الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتُمُوهُمْ وَخُذُوهُمْ وَاحْصُرُوهُمْ وَاقْعُدُوا لَهُمْ كُلَّ مَرْصَدٍ فَإِنْ تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ فَخَلُّوا سَبِيلَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. That fifth verse is called Ayatu Saif. It's called the Ayah of the Sword. And when the sacred months, meaning the 4 months, have passed, then fight, kill the mushrikeen wherever you find them. War is declared against them and capture them, besiege them, wait in ambush against them. But if they repent and they pray and give zakah, then let them go, and Allah is most forgiving and merciful. So what is this? This is the announcement, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Declaration that all treaties with the pagans are null and void after 4 months. That we do not just announce the treaty is broken today. No, no, no. Remember, there's no specific time period on this treaty. We have a treaty. Well, these treaties, by the nature of the treaties, any party can break it at any time, but you need to announce the matter. And so the announcement was given, and then 4 months was this amnesty period, except if the treaty has a specific time and the mushrikeen have not violated the treaty, then you honor it, walhamdulillah. After four months, the mushrikeen, the pagans, they have two options. Number one, they leave paganism and they become Muslim. They leave paganism and they become Muslim. And the reality is that majority of the Arabian Peninsula did become Muslim, walhamdulillah. So either they leave paganism and become Muslim, option one. Option two, if they don't embrace Islam, then they pack up and they leave. They leave the Arabian Peninsula. Otherwise, verse number 5, Ayatu Saif, states that there will be a declaration of war against them, because we do not want any idolatry to be practiced in the Arabian Peninsula. Verse number 5 of Surah Tawbah is probably the number one verse that is misquoted by the Islamophobes. One needs to understand the context of this verse. That the mushrikeen, we had treaties, etc. in place with them. Announcement is given that this treaty will be broken in 4 months from now. You have clemency, amnesty for 4 months. Do as you wish. You either embrace Islam, walhamdulillah, and you are our brothers, or You can leave the Arabian Peninsula and go wherever you want. This Arabian Peninsula is declared a place of al-Islam, and idolatry is not to be practiced in the Arabian Peninsula. As for the Ahl al-Kitab, the Jews and the Christians, this does not address them. They can remain there, etc., etc. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. So this is that announcement that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was given the responsibility to announce, and he had done so. Walhamdulillah. Also, around this time here, or maybe the early period of the year 10 after Hijrah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was sent to Yemen with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to do da'wah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, Yassira, to both of them, Yassira, wa la tu'assira, wa bashira, wa la tunaffira, wa tatawa'a. That both of you should make matters easy for the people. Don't make matters difficult for the people. Bashira, give people glad tidings. Don't chase away people. And you should cooperate with one another. He asks Muawiyah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, how are you going to judge the people? How are you going to rule with the people? Then Mu'adh says, I will judge with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't find the answer in the book of Allah, what will you do? He says, then I will look into the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't find the answer in the sunnah, then what will you do? He says, then I will make ijtihad. Then I will exert myself in finding the answer, ijtihad. Subhanallah. Your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is walking with Mu'adh ibn Jabal out of Medina al-Munawwara. Mu'adh is this youngster in his 20s. He's on the animal. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking beside him. And he says to him, imagine these words. Oh Mu'adh, maybe you won't meet me again. Maybe we will not meet again. Maybe you will pass by my masjid or my grave when you return. Mu'adh begins to cry, subhanallah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, don't cry. Inna awla bi al-muttaqoon man kanu wa haythu kanu. The people who are closest to me, they are the ones who are the people who fear Allah. They are the people of taqwa, whoever they are and wherever they are. Even if you are in Yemen or wherever it might be, if you are from the muttaqeen, then you are close to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, he also says to Mu'adh, you are going to the people of the Ahl al-Kitab. So invite them to La ilaha illallah. Invite them to the matter of the prayer. If they accept this, then the matter of the fasting, and then the matter of the zakah, etc., etc. He informs Muawiyah, he informs rather Mu'adh of the people he is going to invite. You are going to the Ahl al-Kitab. Know exactly who you are doing da'wah to, because it is important, so you know exactly what to say, how to say it, etc., etc. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also had sent Khalid ibn al-Walid to Yemen, and he was there for about 6 months. Then he sends Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. This is in the year 10 after Hijrah. And he says to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that you shouldn't judge in any matter until you hear both sides of the story. Ali went there, and he does da'wah with the Hamdan tribe, and they all embraced Islam. They all embraced Islam. And so Ali writes to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam that they've all embraced Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got the news, and immediately he made sajda to shukr, sajda thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this good news. And this is around Ramadan, the year 10 after Hijrah, walhamdulillah. So Ali was in Yemen, and that's why very, very soon when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes and performs his final hajj, Ali will come from Yemen and then meet up with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the area of hajj. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, lastly, in around the first quarter of the year 10 after Hijrah, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lost his third son, Ibrahim. He lost previously Qasim, and then Abdullah, and now Ibrahim, subhanallah. Ibrahim's mother was Maria. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this third son. Maybe the son here would survive me. Maybe the son here, walhamdulillah, would survive me. Ibrahim lived to around the age of 1 year, 4 months, or 1 year, 6 months. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit him at the area of Awali. So the other wives, their homes were very close to the masjid of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Maria, her place was in Awali, so a bit further away. Why? It is mentioned that the wives were jealous of Maria. She was very beautiful, etc. and young. And so the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam settled her a bit further away. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to visit his son Ibrahim. Ibrahim eventually fell ill. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam visits him. It's difficult for him to breathe, etc. Eventually, this little Ibrahim, he passes away, subhanallah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tears. And the companion says, Ya Rasulullah, you are tearing. Shows us that it was not common for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tear in public. He says, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعْ وَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنْ وَمَا نَقُولْ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا وَإِنَّ بِفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمْ لَمَحْزُونُونَ. That the eye tears, the heart is saddened, but we only say what is pleasing to Allah, and we are very saddened by your departure, O Ibrahim. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed janazah over Ibrahim, and then he was buried in Jannatul Baqi, and his grave is there up till today in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, there was an eclipse on this day in Medina Al-Munawwara. And some said, look, even the sky is sad by the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's son. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, had he been a false prophet, he could have used this to his advantage and said, yes, look, this is a sign. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam instilled tawheed in their hearts, and he said to them that the eclipse, etc., this has nothing to do with the birth or the passing away of any individual. These are ayat of Allah, these are signs of Allah, and have nothing to do with these matters. Subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, this was your Rasul, this was your Habib, this was your Nabi, this was our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final messenger to mankind, and this is his life, subhanallah. This is his story, and this is our story. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a share from the biography of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to record our sitting, our learning, our studying in our scales of good deeds. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resurrect us in the company of this little Ibrahim, in the company of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the company of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us keys of goodness, those who join between the ranks of the Muslims. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us not keys of evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, remember, if your knowledge is above average, then your ibadah, your character, your behavior, your akhlaq, your worship is also supposed to be above average. Would that be idhnillah ta'ala until we meet again? Jazakumullahu khayran. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.